Welcome to 5 at 8. I'm Mark Overman, and this morning I'm joined by Linda Carlisle. It's Saturday, March 23rd, 2024. In this episode, we'll talk about TSMC's success in chip making, the genetic variation behind the rare coat color of giant pandas, Russia's attack on Ukraine's energy infrastructure, Donald Trump potentially receiving billions from a stock market deal, and the importance of studying space dust collected from the asteroid Bennu. Story number one. In a report from CNN, TSMC's success in chip making is attributed to its intensive training program at the Newcomer Training Center in Taichung, Taiwan. The center provides systematic training for new engineers, preparing them for the fast-paced world of semiconductor production. TSMC's global expansion plans include building new fabs in the US, Japan, and Germany, requiring a larger pool of skilled talent. The company faces challenges in adapting to different work cultures and managing teams across the world. Despite concerns about diminishing Taiwan's importance, TSMC believes its global expansion will only enhance the island's role in the semiconductor industry. Could you believe the speed at which Taiwan's TSMC is scaling up? It's like they've hit the fast-forward button. Their newcomer training center is like a secret weapon. They've completely transformed their training approach to meet the demand.
Yes, it's quite remarkable. The training center in Taichung is a testament to their commitment to rapidly upskill their workforce. It's not just about the volume, though, it's also about the quality of skills they are imparting. They're building a solid foundation for their employees, which is crucial when you're dealing with such advanced technology.
Absolutely. And it's not just about Taiwan anymore. They're expanding globally, and their employees are going to be deployed across the globe. It's a smart move to ensure that their manufacturing processes are not too concentrated in one location, especially with the geopolitical tensions and supply chain disruptions we're seeing.
Yes, indeed. But this global expansion presents its own set of challenges. The difference in work culture between Asian and Western countries is one of them. The demanding nature of the semiconductor industry, with long hours and being on call, may not sit well in all countries.
Ha! You're right there, Linda. It's not just about the chips, it's about the people making them. And as they say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. TSMC needs to adapt to the local work culture in the US, Japan, Germany, and wherever else they're setting up shop.
It's a fine balance between maintaining their highly efficient work culture and adapting to local practices. And I think TSMC is up for the challenge. They are already recognizing the need for this balance and are working on strategies to manage teams differently in different parts of the world.
Yeah, and let's not forget the talent issue. The semiconductor industry is facing a worldwide shortage of specialist workers. But TSMC's intensive training program could be a game changer. It could potentially become a model for other high-tech industries facing similar challenges.
That's a great point, Mark. The training center is not just about addressing TSMC's immediate needs, but it's also setting a precedent for other companies. And the more companies that adopt similar strategies, the wider the talent pool becomes for the entire industry. It's a win-win, really.
Well said. It's going to be interesting to watch how this plays out. There's no doubt that TSMC's success or failure could have a big impact on the global semiconductor industry, and beyond that, on the world economy. Story number two. In a report from CNN, scientists have discovered that the rare brown and white coat color of some giant pandas is due to natural genetic variation, not inbreeding. The study involved analyzing the genetics of pandas in the wild and in captivity, including the only known brown panda named Kizai. The researchers identified a recessive trait on a gene called BACE2 responsible for the unique coat color. The findings suggest that the brown pandas are a result of natural variation specific to the Qinling Mountains in China, where they are found. This discovery could help inform conservation efforts for the vulnerable giant panda species. So, Linda, this recent study about brown and white pandas in China is quite fascinating, isn't it? The fact that their unique coat color isn't a result of inbreeding, as was previously suspected, but natural variation. How does that work exactly?
Well, Mark, it's all about genetics. Each gene we carry has two alleles, one from each parent. Now, some traits are dominant, meaning they'll show up even if only one parent passes on the allele. But others, like the brown fur in these pandas, are recessive, That means a panda needs to inherit the brown fur allele from both parents for the trait to manifest. It's the same with humans. Think about eye color. Blue eyes are a recessive trait.
Interesting. So the brown and white pandas inherited this recessive trait from both parents. But why are we only seeing this in pandas from the Qinling Mountains in China? Isn't it possible for pandas from other regions to also have this trait?
That's a great question, Mark. It all comes down to environmental factors and genetic variation within a specific population. The Qinling Mountains have a different climate than, say, Sichuan Province, where most of China's giant pandas live. This different environment could have led to different natural selection pressures, resulting in unique genetic variations such as this brown and white coat color. It's rather similar to how Darwin's finches evolved different beak shapes depending on the food sources available on different islands.
Wow, so the environment plays a much bigger role in genetic variation than I realized. But how were the scientists able to confirm that this coat color was the result of a genetic mutation in the base 2 gene?
They actually used a gene editing tool called CRISPR-Cas9 to delete the genetic sequence in lab mice. They found that this deletion led to similar changes in the mice's coat color, confirming their hypothesis. It's an amazing demonstration of how we can use gene editing technology to better understand the role of specific genes in physical traits.
That's fascinating, Linda. And I suppose this discovery has significant implications for conservation efforts, doesn't it?
Realizing that this unique coat color is a result of natural variation rather than inbreeding is a positive development. It essentially means that these brown and white pandas aren't a sign of a dwindling inbred population, but rather a testament to the natural genetic diversity within the panda species. This understanding could be vital for future conservation strategies.
Story number 3. In a report from CNN, Russia launched a major missile and drone attack on Ukraine's energy infrastructure, leaving over 1 million households without electricity. At least 3 people were killed and several others injured. Ukrainian President Zelensky called for more support from allies, particularly U.S.-made air defense systems. The attack came after a previous strike on Kiev was intercepted. This latest attack on Ukraine's energy infrastructure, it's a game changer, Linda. It's a large-scale tactical assault that's not just military in nature, but it's designed to cripple the country's ability to function on a day-to-day basis. Think about it. Over 1 million households without electricity.
It's a harsh reminder of how warfare isn't just about troops on the ground anymore. The targeting of infrastructure isn't new. We've seen it in World War II with the Allied bombing campaigns on German infrastructure. But the scale of this attack and the use of modern technology, missiles, drones, it's chilling.
And you're right. We've seen this before. But there's a stark difference between then and now. Today's world is so much more reliant on technology and infrastructure. An attack like this, it's not just about the immediate damage. It's the long-term effects on the country's economy and society that's worrying.
True, Mark. And it's not just Ukraine feeling the effects. The ripple effect of such large-scale infrastructure sabotage can be felt globally. Energy markets, supply chains, global security, they're all interconnected. This raises serious questions about the changing nature of warfare and how we perceive national security.
Yeah, and it's not just the physical aspect of it, but the psychological impact, too. Imagine living in a war zone where you're constantly under the threat of losing basic utilities like electricity. That's brutal, and it's going to leave a lasting trauma on the people.
Yes, Mark. The human aspect of it cannot be overlooked. Amid all these strategic discussions, it's crucial to remember the human cost of such actions. There are ethical questions about targeting infrastructure that affects civilian life so directly, and the international community needs to confront these dilemmas in humanitarian law.
Couldn't agree more, Linda. And on that note, Zelensky's call for more support, it's a desperate plea. The indecision and delay in aid packages while missiles and drones rain down, it's just unthinkable.
Yes, Mark. It's a stark reminder of the urgency of the situation and the need for the international community to respond effectively. The debate surrounding aid to Ukraine, especially in the U.S., reflects the complexity of international relations in such situations.
Story number 4. Donald Trump is set to potentially receive billions of dollars as a stock market deal involving his social media platform Truth Social passes. The deal involves Digital World Acquisition Corp acquiring Trump Media, with Trump holding a stake of at least 58% in the merged company. Despite red flags and past fraud charges, individual investors, many of whom are Trump loyalists, seem unfazed by the deal. The company will be renamed Trump Media and Technology Group and could start trading on the Nasdaq Stock Exchange soon. However, analysts warn of significant risks for investors as the company's fundamentals do not align with its high valuation. According to the BBC, this development is closely watched by investors and analysts. Did you ever think, Linda, we'd see a day where a former president would be in this sort of situation? Trump's strategy here is definitely audacious, leveraging his political fame to possibly bail himself out of legal financial woes. It's a bold move, I'd say, but it does raise a bunch of questions on how public figures use their influence in the market.
It's a complex intertwining of politics and commerce. Although this isn't a completely new phenomenon, the scale and implications are significant here. Trump's potential windfall from this deal is astonishing, considering the state of the business and the risks involved.
Absolutely. The whole narrative around meme stocks comes into play here. The share price seems to be driven more by Trump's popularity and less by the actual performance of the business. It's like the fundamentals are taking a back seat while investor sentiment is driving the car.
And it's worth noting that the majority of these investors are individuals, not Wall Street firms. Many of them are Trump loyalists, who see this as a way to support him. The emotional and ideological investment here might be as much a factor as the financial one.
Yeah, it's kind of like backing a sports team, isn't it? But this is high-stakes stuff, and the risks are tangible, not just for the investors, but for the market stability as well. The potential for substantial losses is considerable, given the speculative nature of these investments.
The ethical, legal, and financial implications of such ventures are far-reaching. This case highlights the need for transparency and accountability, especially when public figures are involved in business transactions of this nature. It's a multifaceted issue that calls for a careful and thoughtful approach.
Story number 5. In a report from the New York Times, Dante Loretta, the planetary scientist behind the OSIRIS-REx mission, discusses the importance of studying space dust collected from the asteroid Bennu. The mission's success marks the end of an era for Loretta, who has been immersed in the project since 2016. The spacecraft has now continued its journey through the solar system, while Loretta reflects on the impact of the mission and the future of his work. It's truly remarkable, isn't it, Linda? This achievement by NASA's OSIRIS-REx mission? I mean, bringing back over 120 grams of space dust from an asteroid called Bennu? That's some next-level stuff. This asteroid, mind you, broke off from a larger world that may have once hosted liquid water. The implications of studying this material, it could revolutionize our understanding of how life's ingredients may have been delivered to Earth.
The scientific significance of this mission is unparalleled. I mean, we're talking about the potential origins of life here. It's not just about the macrocosmic events, but also the microcosmic realities of the individuals involved. Dr. Dante Loretta, for instance, the mission leader and a planetary scientist at the University of Arizona, his personal account is equally fascinating, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. The dedication, the passion, the sheer will to make it all happen. I mean, the mission started back in 2016, and it's been Dr. Loretta's life ever since. And now his work is literally hanging on the wall of his office, and he's even written a book about it. That's dedication on a whole other level, Linda.
Indeed. It's riveting to think of the human endeavor behind these scientific advances. It's not just the years of hard work, but also the anticipation, the excitement, and even the challenges, like the disassembly of the asteroid sample collector going slower than expected due to stuck screws. Every small step is a significant victory in the journey of exploration and discovery.
Couldn't agree more, Linda. And it's not just about the science, but the impact it has on education and inspiring the next generation. Dr. Loretta's students getting live lectures from the Johnson Space Center, it's like a front row seat to history in the making. Now that's what I call a great education.
The experiences shared by Dr. Loretta not only humanize the process, but also offer invaluable lessons to students and aspiring scientists. It's a testament to the fact that science isn't just about data and results. It's also about the journey, the challenges, and the human spirit to explore and discover.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.